Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, y'all? Let's get into it. West Virginia, Dana Holgorsen, head coach. Let's go over his record right away. Overall, he is 36-28, so he has a winning record there, and he is 500 in bowl games going 2-2. He has been at West Virginia for five seasons now. 2012, 7-6, 2013, 4-8, no bowl game, 2014, 7-6, 2015, 8-5, first year 2011 before they went to the Big 12 when they were still in the Big East, they were 10-3, finished 5-2 in their conference, won the Orange Bowl. Did it very aggressively by blowing Clemson out. I think that's what made Clemson mad and eventually turned their whole program around and were able to compete with Alabama this year. So, Holgorsen is kind of in the middle. He is on the hot seat, but he's not on the hot seat. West Virginia fans won a Big 12 title, but at the same time, Dana Holgorsen has an overall winning record. So you can't fire a guy who has an overall winning record. Overall, he's done a solid job. I'm pretty sure, though, they want a 10-win season at West Virginia first, or a couple 9- and 10-win seasons. So hopefully this year he can get 9, 10 wins this year. He got 8 last year, which is a good job, and he beat Arizona State, which was an explosive Pac-12 team. So in my opinion, overall, Holgorsen has done a great job, but expectations are high at West Virginia. They always have, no matter what conference they've been in. And then Mountaineer fans won a Big 12 title. Now, let's go to last year. Season stats. So, last year they started off with Georgia Southern and blew them out. Liberty blew them out. Maryland blew them out. Lost to Oklahoma 24-44. Lost to Oklahoma State, who was good, 26-33. Lost to Baylor Valley 38-62, and they lost to TCU. So all the big shots they lost to the whole month of October last year. Now, the month of November last year, they beat Texas Tech by 5 points. They beat Texas by 2 touchdowns at home. They blew out Kansas 49-0, and they beat Iowa State 30-6. Lost at Kansas State, which we know Bill Snyder is known for that. You ain't going to just come to Manhattan, Kansas, and think you're going to just win. That's how they roll at K-State. Now, 43-42, they barely won their bowl game against Arizona State, and that was an amazing win by 1 point. Great enthusiasm. Last year, their leading rusher was Wendell Smallwood, and after that you had Rushell Shell. Passing was Skylar Howard and William Crest. Receivers from last year: Dakell Shorts, he had 528 yards. Shelton Gibson, he had 887 yards. And then you had Smallwood, seems like he's an all-purpose guy. He had 509 yards receiving. Now, let's go over the schedule this year, and let's see what the Mountaineers can do. First game, let's see what cupcake team they got at home. No, they don't have a cupcake team at home, actually. They play SEC Missouri, but it's at home. It's on Fox Sports 1. They can get out and jump on Missouri. That would be excellent for them, and they can prove some points. Then they got Youngstown State at home. Coach Bo Pelini, if you guys remember Bo Pelini from Nebraska, now head coach at FCS Youngstown State. He's going to take them into Morgantown. Next, they got BYU and Landover, Maryland, which is pretty much the, if any of you Big 12 Nation heads have ever been to Washington, D.C., that's where the Redskins play at, over in that area. Then they got Kansas State at home at Texas Tech, middle of October. TCU at home at Oklahoma State last week in October. Kansas at home to begin November. Texas, middle of November. Oklahoma at home. second half of November, last weekend of November, Thanksgiving weekend, they're at Iowa State. It's a toss-up. It's a game they can win, though. And then they're home against Baylor December 3rd. So looking at the schedule, they should be able to get 8, maybe 9 wins. Missouri's winnable. Youngstown State's winnable. BYU's winnable. Kansas State is winnable. Texas Tech is winnable. TCU is going to be tough, but they have TCU at home this year, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what Kenny Hill does. At Oklahoma State, that's going to be tough. Kansas at home. At Texas, that's going to be tough. Oklahoma at home, that's going to be tough. At Iowa State, that should be a win. Baylor at home, that could be a win. So looking at the schedule, they can go 8-4, 9-3 easily. So if Coach Overton goes 9-3 this year, he's made a big step, and he looks like he has a chance. His toughest task is going to be at Texas and home versus Oklahoma. All other Big 12 teams are tough, but, you know, it's kind of an up-in-the-air thing with what's going on at Baylor. They're not as consistent as you would think. But, yeah, he has the potential. Yeah, I mean, they have the potential to go 9-3, so hats off. I mean, Coach Overton, he can get something done this year. And hopefully that gets the people off his back. I really hope that gets him off his back if he can find a way to get 9 wins this year. He's got to find a way to do it. That's the crazy thing about college football. You hear one day and then you go on the next. I mean, you be fired so quick, it's absurd. Just like Bo Pelini was. So, whatever. Now, let's talk about their quarterback situation. They had a couple quarterbacks in the backfield last year. And I believe they were all underclassmen. Skylar Howard is a senior, so he threw for the most. And he's actually from Fort Worth, Texas. I wonder how TCU let him get away. From Fort Worth, Texas, and he went to Brewer High School. Oh, okay. Looking at his bio here, guys, he went to Riverside City Community College, so that means he went to JUCO. So either he didn't qualify out of school or he wanted a better chance because he didn't get the scholarship he wanted out of school. So the quarterback's a senior. He's coming back. Looks like they're one of their top receivers and their all-purpose guys running back from last year. Wendell Smallwood, I don't see him on the roster, so it's looking like they're going to have to go Rochelle Shell. I'll look here one more time. Yeah, looks like Russell Shell. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. It looks Rochelle. It's Russell Shell. We all have different ways we pronounce our kids' names, whatever. It's American. So he looks like he'll be back, and he's a redshirt senior out of Pennsylvania, not far from, and the transfers from Pitt, so he's not far from home. This is his year, so looks like they have a good running attack. If he doesn't get hurt, they have the leading passer back. Receiver, it's like everybody's last name on this team begins with an S. That can help. My goodness, maybe Hogerson needs to recruit all kids that begin with S's. Okay, Nikel Shorts will be back, and he's a senior. So, their top receiver, their top quarterback, and their top running back is back. West Virginia is not known for their defense. They usually run a 3-3-5. If you're any good, you should be able to run right through it, but a lot of times it can be confusing because of the way the linebackers and D-line angle and slant in the gaps. So, they're not known defensively. They're known for offense like a lot of Big 12 teams. So that's why I didn't get into their defense as much. But at the end of the day, they're looking stacked. And it's going to be a competitive conference this year, that's for sure. I can't wait. I mean, the hell with that ESPN propaganda saying we need a conference championship game. We don't need no damn conference championship game. We're stacked. It's fun. 12 weeks of football. I'm ready. Some training camps open this week. Some open next Monday. So some open, which everybody knows tomorrow is August 1st. The other ones open up August 8th. A lot of them open August 7th, Sunday, August 8th. I've seen the SEC's training camp schedule release, but I haven't seen the Big 12. So I'm going to head down to Austin and check out the Longhorns, see when they start. Usually Charlie Strong gives a press conference beforehand, and I'll post that press conference on Big12Nation.com and see what happens. But other than that, I'm ready, guys. Hogerson, winning record overall, 36-28 at West Virginia, 4 bowl games. This is going to be his 6th year, so he's made 4 out of 5 bowl games in 5 years, 1 losing season. His 2nd year in the Big 12, turned it around, 14, got 7 wins. Last year got 8 wins. If he can go 5-4 in the conference and get 9 wins this year, he's on a great track to success up there in Morgantown. More Big 12 expansion. I'm hearing that we're going to get Houston in the league. I'm not able to confirm who else will be coming in. I don't know if Cincinnati's going to come in. I don't know if BYU is going to come in, but I think that Houston is going to be in, and I think Texas is okay with it because usually you have to have Texas's approval because of the standard in Austin to get into the Big 12, but it's looking like they're going to be able to get into it. Last but not least, a former Big 12 player lost his life this past weekend. There was a shooting in Houston, and it was a former linebacker. And I know that A&M is now in the SEC, but before that, they were in the Big 12. And he was killed by a teenage son. It's pretty scary out here when you can do everything right and still get killed by your son. But Antonio Armstrong, who was a former standout in the Big 12 when Texas A&M was part of the Big 12, was him and his wife were fatally shot by their own teenage son. And it's a tragedy. We don't know what happened behind closed doors, what's going on. But it's just sad to see people go before their time because of violence. There's a lot of reasons why many of us like football, because it's controlled violence and it reminds us of the American tradition. So many things in life now where it's almost like people are just out of control. But I wanted to talk about that because a lot of people are talking about the story out of Texas A&M that has to do with a lot of silly political correctness, which was a misunderstanding because a coach might have said something that he didn't know was offensive. But what I want to do is bring light to a man losing his life who helped bring light to the Big 12, because he's one of the players who've actually made it to the NFL out of the Big 12. He's gone. His 2 other kids don't have any parents anymore. Even though Texas A&M is no longer with us, they were in the Big 12 at one point. So I want to say a serious rest in peace to Mr. Armstrong and his wife, because that's what's important. You can't get life back. We can argue back and forth about political correctness and politics, about the silly stuff that they talked about all day on the radio the other day. At the end of the day, a man lost his life, and he put his hard work into a university. Talk about that more than the silly childish scandals that we talk about every day with college football. It's more scandals talked about than reality. And it's really disrespectful that nobody made a big deal about this, but they made a big deal about the other thing and suspended the coaches for 2 weeks without pay. Big 12 Nation, we're going to get into Kenny Hill and the TCU Horned Frogs on the next preview. All right, guys. Peace. Have a good day. Enjoy your Sunday.